Very good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study on the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just to recap a bit. Chapters 11 onwards, all the way right up to chapter 14. The focus will be on worship. In the past, the Apostle Paul dealt with the individual transgressions in the lives of the members of the church in Corinth. But from chapter 11, he will now deal with a church issue. Worship is one of the, if not the most important part of our lives on this earth. Do you know that of all the activities that we do on this earth, beside Christian fellowship, worship is the only activity that we will continue up in heaven? A gathering of God's people away from the world, knowing that the world out there is ruled by Satan with Satan's methods, Satan's rules and regulations, and Satan's followers, Satan's servants. But once you are inside a local church, a church that is sound, a church that is biblical, and we pray that God will preserve this church, but we know that many local churches have fallen by the wayside. Many churches have come and gone and literally disappeared. The churches that we study in this book of the New Testament, such as the church in Ephesus, a very strong church, a very sound church, where the Apostle Paul spent many years instructing them in the word of truth. If you were to go to Ephesus right now, that church has long disappeared. Likewise, the church in Colossae, the church in Thessalonica, the church in Philippi, and also the church in Rome, and also in Corinth. They are all gone. They don't exist anymore. Somewhere along the line, unfaithful leaders came in and the church died. And today you will find only ruins and rubbles instead of living stones. And today in our context, since the 16th century Reformation, local churches continue to come and continue to die because Satan knows the potency of local churches. And so he will try his utmost to destroy local churches. He will send in his wolves in sheep's clothing to undermine the congregation and the leadership, and that's how churches will die. He will also attack Bible colleges because he knows that Bible colleges are places where future pastors will be trained and will come from to take over the present pastors in some of these conservative fundamental churches. And so he will attack multi-pronged from many directions in order that you and I, no matter how sincere and desirous you will be in growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not have a sound church to worship in, to study God's word in, to have Christian fellowship, if you're all alone like a man on an island, Satan knows that your testimony and your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ will be like a man who is hopping along with one leg. You can't do very much when you are all alone in a strange land where there are no sound churches that you could attend. Satan knows that because we have emails from people all over the world, as far as even America, that they are very thankful for our church website, because they testify that around them there are no sound churches that they could attend. The closest would be many hours' drive away, and some of them are aged, they could not afford that kind of long distance, a few hours one direction. And so they enter into our website, and all they could do would be to listen to God's word. They can't participate in our worship because they are all alone in their home. If the children are not believers and they are aged, they might even be homebound. And so many of them are in such a state and condition, even in the great land of America that once used to be the citadel, the bulwark of fundamental Christianity. It is dying. It is so diluted today that in order to find a proper seminary for our young people to be trained overseas, we could not even name five of them in one hand. That's how bad the face of Christianity is, and that's how successful Satan has been in undermining the church. And so worship is one of the, if not the most important activity in any local church. The ministries are important. The ministries are miniature places of worship, places of the gathering of God's people. If we were to preach a message in a ministry, it will be to a segment of the church. But if we were to preach the Word of God from the pulpit every Lord's Day, it is the entire church. Same time frame of about 45 minutes or so. But you reach out to the whole church. That's why the worship is always the prime target of Satan. You bring in bad music. You bring in unbiblical concept and way of church government, wrong doctrine. The worship will be the first place that will see the decline. And so the Apostle Paul had to nip this in the bud because it happened to the church in Corinth. And so we continue to look at the instruction of the Apostle Paul. And the first thing he had to deal with was leadership. And this morning we continue with the emphasis on leadership. We know that churches in Singapore, in many parts of the world, they have allowed the philosophies and the ways of the world to infiltrate. And they have allowed the ideas of the world to dictate and to determine how churches are to be looked after. And so church governments, leadership in churches, have basically world philosophies rather than Bible-based philosophies. Now remember, the philosophies of the world are the laws and regulations of the devil. The Bible tells us that the god of this world, this age, is Satan. Please understand, anytime you want to bring the ideas and the rules and regulations that you picked up from the world because of your association of the world from Monday to Saturday, you are bringing in the ideas and the philosophies of the devil into your home, into your own personal lives, and into the church. And that's why God has given to us prescription for the leaders of the church. And they are all spiritual qualifications. There's nothing to do with money, position of the world, status, how educated you are. These are all the standards of the world. Please leave them outside the church. Don't allow the ideas and philosophies of the world to enter into your individual lives as well as into your home. And please don't bring it into the church, because if you bring it into the church, it will not only affect your home, it will affect the homes of others. It is one thing to let it influence your own personal life. It is another thing when you allow it to influence your home, your home life, whereby your families will become worldly and carnal. But it is a most dangerous and detrimental thing if you were to bring it into the church. And that's why it is so important that all levels of leadership, the Sunday school teachers, the people who look after all the fellowships, the committee members, and of course, definitely the session members and the elders and the pastors, they are all based upon spiritual requirements and qualifications that God has given to us very, very clearly in the Bible. And we have to observe them. We cannot and we have no right to change them, because this is the church of Jesus Christ. If you want to call it the church of the world, by all means, and let the people who come in with their eyes open that this is a church that is not going to follow the Bible. We are not going to follow Christ. Because if you say that this is a church where Jesus Christ is Lord, then let us follow him. And where is his instruction? The Bible. So everything has to be done according to the scriptures, not up to you or me. Otherwise, it will be like the period of the judges, where everyone will do what is right in his own eyes. The election is coming, so please only elect those who have the biblical qualifications. This is a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle where souls of men, women, and children, eternity in heaven or in hell, are at stake. This is not a game. This is life, eternal life and eternal death. And that's how important the church is. And that must be the same emphasis that you must have in your own life. You have to do your part in ensuring that the church that you belong to is not jeopardized, not only in your lifetime, but in the lifetime after yours, for the sake of our sons and our daughters and their sons and their daughters. That's all we can do. God will not hold us accountable after we leave this world, because obviously we can't influence anyone anymore after we are gone, except what is recorded, except what is left behind by us. And today, perhaps, we may still be able to influence others if we leave behind sound, holy, godly testimonies and teachings because of modern technology. Worship must begin with leadership. And that's where the Apostle Paul started in chapter 11. And he continues from verse 7, giving to us the reason why men must not fail God and must not fail other believers. And so God says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head. The Apostle Paul used a custom that was common in Palestine, where the men in the society, they do not walk around with their head covered, whereas the women in the society have their head covered. And so borrowing this common experience that the people of Roman times would understand very well, he brought it into the church to illustrate. That's why we do not practice this, because it is an illustration. And he says, how can men walk around with their head covered? And that's why he says, a man ought not to cover his head. In other words, do not abdicate your role and your position inside the church, in the leadership. That's what it means. You cannot take over the position of the women and allow the women to take over the position of the men. God says, you are worshiping me, and therefore I alone will have the only say in the matter. This is not a democracy. God is not going to ask us a few options for us to choose. We are talking about worshiping the one living and true God. We were never allowed to even come near the door of the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus says. Because of our great sin. Don't talk about entering the kingdom of heaven. We can't even see the door to the kingdom of heaven because of the greatness of the sin in our lives. And now that in Christ Jesus, not only are you able to see the door into the kingdom of heaven, you can now enter into the kingdom of heaven, and not only just the periphery area inside the kingdom of heaven, you can enter into the very presence of the most holy place in heaven. That is the presence of God Almighty because of what Christ has done. And that's what worship is. That's what it means to worship, where we can draw nigh unto God. Now that we can in Christ, God says, I will teach you now. I will tell you how you can do it in a manner that is pleasing to me, whereby I would accept. You change it, you can say you are worshiping me. As far as God is concerned, you are not. This is the bane of our Christianity today. We do what is right in our own eyes, and we force God to accept, just like what Cain did. Cain knew that he must come before God with a blood offering. But then when he looked at the fruit of his hand, the labor of his hand, he was a farmer. He could easily have obtained a sheep from his brother Abel. But he said, what is good enough for Cain must be good enough for God. This is the best I could give, and therefore, God, you have no choice but to accept. That was his problem, and that is the world's problem today, and that is the problem of many, many Christians today, and I hope that is not our problem. God says, you want to worship me in Christ Jesus, this is the way to do it. And the men must rise to the occasion and lead. Plain and simple. Do not walk around covering your head. That means abdicating your position. And God gave us the reason why. In the second half of verse 7, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God. The image and the glory of God. When God made man, God made us in God's image. Now God is the masculine gender. Elohim. Him is masculine gender. There is no female God. Now that is the way of the world. Don't bring the way of the world into the church. Remember, anything that is out in the world, they belong to the ideas and the notions of Satan. Please understand this. Please understand the reality. Your children go to school. There will be facts about nature. That's fine. When it comes to ideas and philosophies that are against the Bible, that is not the right kind of education that you must allow your children to believe in, to accept, like evolution. These are all ideas and notions of the devil. So that individuals, you will be deceived. And these individuals who are deceived will bring into the home. The home will be deceived. If you do not nip it in the bud and leave it out in the world, you bring it into the home because you believe in it, and the home will be corrupted. And these people who are corrupted, they come to church, and they bring into the church, they bring into the Sunday school, that's a big problem. Whatever philosophies and ideas that you pick up in the world, and you will be through the internet, through the movies, through the friends, the dialogue you have with them, and through the emphasis and the philosophies of the places of work, the company that you have, all these, remember, they come under the God of the world out there. And so, men, you are given this responsibility. By God, you are made in God's image, and God is masculine. You have no choice. You are masculine. Sure, the world, with all these medical sciences, they try to change sex. And so they think they can change a woman into a man into a woman. This is only a surface delusion, again invented and designed by the devil to confuse us, so that we all allow this confusion to creep into our mind, into our soul, so that we will bring into the church, and that's how the problem begins. And so you have all kinds of churches, homosexual pastors, homosexual church members, and they will tell you it's okay to be a Christian and to be a homosexual at the same time. And sadly, tragically, this was even taught in FEPC night class. Do you know that? A BP pastor taught this. That's how great the influence was. You know his reasoning? He imbibed some strange teaching when he was overseas, or he read from a book somewhere, that this condition of homosexuality is medical. It's not a person's fault to be born left-handed or right-handed. So likewise, he said that a person with small brain, based upon certain study, is born with an inclination to be a homosexual. That's what he's taught, he said. I heard it. It was recorded. I listened to it because one FEPC student complained. And then he had continued using this so-called medical basis. Then he tried to reinterpret the Bible and said the Bible only condemns the act of homosexuality, not the mind of a homosexual. And so he says that you can be a Christian and you can be a homosexual in your mind, just don't do the act. That means you can lust after a man and a man, a woman and lust after a woman in the mind, but don't do the act. The Bible only condemns the act. What did the Bible say concerning adultery, fornication? Jesus says, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you have already committed adultery. Where in the world did he get all this, this BP pastor, get all this horrible notion from the world? And he did not have enough sense and discernment to sift all this rubbish out. And he taught it inside FEBC at night class. This was told to Reverend Toh, and Reverend Toh dealt with him. I transcribed the whole portion of that teaching material, and I gave it to Reverend Toh to deal with him, because he was my senior lecturer. We just came back from America at that time. And he was also my teacher when I was studying in FEBC. He changed for the worse. Is he still a BP minister today? Yes. He belonged to the group that believed the Bible has mistakes now. Just saw the gathering of the people. All those who believe the Bible has mistakes, some of our ex-elders are also there now. This is what is happening to churches after churches. If we are not careful, if we play the fool with what God has prescribed for us in worship, in leadership, the church will die. Please understand that. The church, when it dies, our sons and our daughters will no longer have the truth properly, clearly taught to them. And when that happens, they will end up in sin when they die and end up in hell. Please understand the severity and what is at stake. Eternity in hell is a great place of terrible torment, where the pain will be without end. It will be so painful that you can't even imagine what the pain is like. And there is no relief. And it goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. That is what is at stake. And that's why we have to follow the Bible's instruction. And therefore, men, please rise up to the occasion, for you are made in the image of God, not by chance, not by accident, definitely not by choice. You and I have no say whether you are born male or female. It is by God's design. That's why made in the image of God and for God's glory. We are here, placed on earth after salvation. God could have easily taken you home, but He did not. So that you can serve Him, you can lead God's people by your example, by your leadership. Don't fail yourself, don't fail Christ, don't fail your family, and please don't fail us in the church. That's what you have to do. And please let your life be very circumspect. Take up the position of leadership, because when you fail, by default, we need leaders. The women will come up, and that's the beginning of trouble and the end of many, many churches. Do you know that many of our church problems in overseas churches a result of the man's failure? And because of the man's failure, the women now took the leadership. They are made differently from men. God knows that, and you and I also know that. And so when the problems of churches abound, many of them are because of men's failure, and so the women rose to the position of leadership, and so they fight. They quarrel. It was a very sad and tragic sight to see such things happen inside the church, especially during annual congregational meeting. But the Bible made it very plain and clear that the women ought not to speak. But these churches, the women were the spokesmen, the men just sit there and do nothing. And the men just sit there like little sheep. And their wives will stand up and quarrel and argue and scream and shout at one another. And the men just sat there. Do you know that the wives carry your name? They are called Mrs. So-and-so. You let them speak and they make a mess of the whole congregational meeting. Your name will also be at stake. Please understand, the worship of God, the one living and true God, must be done God's way. No other way. And God gave us the clear instruction. Men, you are the glory of God. When people look at you, let them see the glory of God in your life. You are made in God's image. You're supposed to see Christ in your life. So please, all the men, when we look at you, ask yourself one simple question. Will we be able to see Christ from the way that you conduct yourself, whether at home or in church or anywhere you go? The dressing, the words that come out of your mouth, is it one of complaining, complaining, complaining all the time, criticizing, criticizing, nothing spiritual, nothing Christ-honoring? Please fix it. Change your vocabulary. Change your heart. Change your emphasis. Change your mind. Stop thinking like the world, because the world out there is a world of complaints. They never stop complaining in the world because they don't know God. They don't know the sovereignty of God. If you know the sovereignty of God, stop complaining, because that's what the people of Israel did in the wilderness, and that's the reason why they perished in the wilderness and did not enter the promised land, which was the land called the land of rest. You complain, complain, complain all the time. Are you sure you are going to heaven? because you don't seem to understand the sovereignty of God in your life. Your God is sovereign. He made you. That means He controlled when you were born, where you were born, who your parents are. He put you in Singapore for a purpose. You don't like the government, you don't like the system, stop complaining. God asks you to submit yourselves to every ordinance of man because your God is sovereign and God put you in this part of the world for a purpose. And this is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, very clearly. Submit yourself to kings and to governors. You know what kind of kings and governors they had in the time of Peter? You know what kind of people the Caesars were? The Caesars were horrible kings. They killed their own parents, they killed their own children. As long as they noticed that they are a threat to their kingship, they will kill them. Just like the guy in North Korea. Same mentality. They suspect you of doing something wrong, they will get you. There is no trial, there is no appeal. That's it. He will send his soldiers and you're going to be massacred. You and your family, the babies, everyone. And yet under that kind of circumstance, that kind of environment, that kind of Caesars ruling the land at the time, the instruction from God's word was, submit yourselves to every ordinance of men, the kings. God put them there to test you and to try you, to see whether you will obey Him under all circumstances, for the sake of Christ, are you prepared? Don't murmur and complain. You are the image and the glory of God. You think God would like you to murmur and complain? Because once you murmur and complain, what do you think will happen? The people around you are also caught up in the murmuring and complaining just like you. Your wives will follow, your children will follow. You want them to do that? When you start to praise Christ, they will begin to praise Christ. They're going to see the world with new eyes, the eyes of a Christian, the eyes of God. And one of the reasons perhaps you can't stop complaining is because your brain is still filled with the philosophies and ideas of the world. Because the world out there is a world of complaint. You've got to replace it with God's word. And probably because you don't study God's word enough, you don't read God's word enough, that's why the mind of Christ is absent even though you have been given in Christ Jesus after salvation to have the mind of Christ. But the mind of Christ is the starting point. Now you've got to fill it with the word of Christ so that you can push out the ideas and the words of the world and the ideas of the world that are from Satan. Otherwise, you may be a Christian with the mind of Christ, but it is still void of the word of Christ because you have not spent enough time studying the word of God. So you do not know how to be a father. You do not know how to be a husband, a Christian father, a Christian husband at home. And so the old ways continue to abound. And wherein, therefore, is the glory of God and the image of God in your life? Men, Christian men, if you're not a Christian, fine. You are excused by God, by Christ, because you're not a Christian. But if you call yourself a Christian, if you are truly a Christian, then remember, rise to the occasion, take off the veil, don't cover your head and abdicate your position, and be the image and the glory of God that you are meant to be in Christ. And for the women, the Bible said this is your role. Verse 7b, you are the glory of the man. Now, the word man here, of course, is all masculine, male gender. It's not generic man. You are the glory of man. What does that mean? That means you are supposed to reflect the glory of man. You submit yourself to men. That's what it means. God gave two reasons, two arguments. Verse 8, one. Verse 9, the second. You don't like it? Why? This is from God, your Heavenly Father. If you still have the mind of the world has already influenced you. If you reject this, if you find it hard to accept this, then you have allowed the world to control you still. And the ideas and the rules of Satan continues to grip your mind and your heart. Please, repent of it and resist it. And don't let the ideas of the world continue to control you. If you are married, you submit to your husbands at home. You don't fight. You submit as unto the Lord. Willingly, cheerfully, happily. Because if you don't, you fight. That means the ideas of the world, that is Satan's idea, continue to grip your heart and your mind. And that has to stop. Because if you can't submit at home, definitely you cannot submit in the church. Because that was our experience and observation when we look at the churches overseas where the women reign. They could not submit at home because the husbands abdicated. And so this idea of controlling entered into the church. And they started controlling the men in the church as well who are not their husbands. That is the problem in many, many churches. And that's how churches die. When you invert and switch what God has intended, the problem abounds. And so God says, why must the woman submit to the man? You are the glory of man. How you respond and how you react will reflect the men. In the church, in your home, if you are married, it will reflect on them. Because you are the glory. You are the reflection of who they are. Two reasons why God says you must submit. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. This is in terms of who was created first. The woman was made out of man. God took the rib out of Adam after God put Adam to sleep. And then God created the woman out of the rib of man. So the woman came out of man. So in terms of ranking, as what John Calvin says of this passage, in terms of ranking, man is first. God made man out of the ground, shaped him, molded him, sculptured him, and then breathed into him, and he became a living soul. And then God put him to sleep and took a rib out of him, and so the woman came out of man, and therefore you are the glory of man. How you react, how you dress, how you behave will be a reflection of the glory of men. In the church as well as in the home. If you are married, remember this as a Christian. If you're not a Christian wife, fine. But if you're not a Christian wife and you're inside the church, we cannot let you abuse God's commandment and description and prescription concerning the leadership in the church. Because if you're not a Christian, we can't allow you to participate in any of these spiritual activities because you can't. You are still dead in sin. And if you are outside the church in the world, we leave you alone. But don't bring the ideas of the world inside the church. Otherwise, you will be called a wolf in sheep's clothing, pretending to be a Christian, but actually you are still not a Christian. You are here to devour the flock of Christ. Don't become such, please. We will do our utmost according to the scriptures to protect God's flock. And if we have to discipline you in the process, we will. To protect God's flock. And if you are a member and you are not born again and you try to destroy God's people and God's church and God's work and God's word, discipline will come. And you know the five levels of discipline. We'll try to help you. But if you continue to resist and you refuse the help, then there will be the final step, which is excommunication, where your membership will be revoked and you will no longer influence God's people negatively, unbiblically. This is, remember, heaven and hell are at stake. The testimony and the image of Jesus Christ at stake. This is not a game. This is a battlefield. The souls of men, women, and children are on the line. Please, men, rise up. Women, fulfill your role. Second argument, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. When God made the woman, she was made a helper suitable for him, helper meet for him, not the other way around. And therefore, the woman was created by God for Adam, not the other way around. And these are two established, irrefutable truths that God used to teach us the importance of how we must worship Him. And this is the kind of worship that God has prescribed. And God is not asking us whether you want to change it or not. This is it. That's it. And the passage concludes for this morning, but all things of God. In other words, God chose who to be man, God chose who to be woman. Plain and simple. And therefore, God chose who to be men, who to be women, and who to save, whom he wants to save. Therefore, God is the one who has decided how we ought to worship him concerning the men and the women. Your gender is not in your own hands. This is the hands of your Heavenly Father. So therefore, when you submit to this teaching, you're submitting to the teaching of your Heavenly Father, not me, not the elders. It is God's word. Because God used two irrefutable historical truths. Man was made first, and the woman was created to be a helper meet suitable for man. Plain and simple. And our society still retains this semblance of role and leadership. Thank God they have not changed it yet. Maybe one day they will change. Maybe one day certain homes may want it to be changed. When you marry, who take whose name? Who take whose name? When you marry your wife, man, do you change your name to take the name of your wife? Or the other way around? So you see, the society still retains this leadership. One day it may change. I'm not surprised. There may be already some countries in some society where they retain their own identity. There's no more called Mr. and Mrs., where both persons get married and they still retain their separate identity, separate name. Maybe. And maybe in some society it's reversed. I do not know. But by and large, so far as I know in Singapore, when you marry, the woman will take the name of the man. And the children will be named after whose name? The wife, the mother, or the father? The father. Where did this come from? Same thing. Same irrefutable truth from the very beginning. Man was created first. The woman came out of man. And therefore, women, you are the glory of man. Conduct yourself in a manner that will reflect the glory of man in your life. If you are a wife, live in a manner that is according to scriptures, so that when people look at you, they will see that you indeed have a godly husband because you have been a godly wife. If you are the kind who is rebellious, you're a gossip, you will bring shame to the name of your husband. That's exactly what happens. And husbands, if you have any, if the wife has any issue that they want to raise up in the church and they ask you for permission, you evaluate as the husband. If it is still good enough to be raised, you raise it on her behalf. You didn't say to her, I give you permission to speak. You are now be the one to put on the veil. We'll give you a veil. We'll give you a veil. You stand up and speak. Don't say, I give you permission to speak. You speak. You stand up. You find that the issue is significant enough that you want to raise it up, do it. If you find that it's not important, you tell your wife, no need, I will answer it for you, let it be. Or we will talk to the leaders privately, fine. Any congregational meeting, public worship, God has set the guidelines, the role of the man, your reason given to you by God, image of God and the glory of God. Reflect him well. For the women, your role is the glory of man. The reasons man was made first. Women were created by God to be a helper suitable for man. We are not talking about your individual salvation. We are not talking about that you are made less. We all have different function. Just like God the Father sent the Son, God did not send, or Jesus did not send God to go to the cross. God the Father sent the Son. The Son submitted to the Father's will. Is Jesus Christ less of God in glory, in essence, in power? No, he is the same God, just like God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all equal in power, equal in glory, equal in everything. God is just simply describing our different function, that's all. It's not about second class or first class, different function, and God expects us to fulfill that function because he will hold us accountable accordingly. So if the man you abdicate and the woman rise up and take over, both will be judged by God. Men, don't you fail the women and the children. Don't you fail God as Christian men. Rise to the occasion and let it begin in your own heart as an individual. And let it begin in your own home as a godly husband and a godly father. Live a life of holiness. Let it be spiritual. Encourage your sons and your daughters and your wife to be spiritual. Encourage them to participate in church activities, in spiritual activities. Take the important first step by telling the family, we are going to church camp this year. Tell them, this is where you begin. Take your spiritual responsibility seriously. What you have wasted in the past won't come back. You just repent with all your heart and ask God to help you turn your world around and let it be spiritual. No longer carnal, because as long as it is carnal, you are inviting Satan into your home because those are his ideas. His ideas. You don't want his ideas to be in your home because you want Christ to be the head of your home, just as he is supposed to be the head of your life and the church. And just in case we misunderstand, God balanced this understanding in verses 10 to 12. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. What does this mean? For this cause, the role of the men and the women. Remember, the context is worship. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. That means, women, you submit yourself to your head, the men, because of the angels. Just like the angels in heaven, they are worshiping God. This is the context of worship. Fulfill the role of worship in the church as you worship God on earth, just like the angelic beings, because of the angels. Remember what happened in the heaven when the angels worship? When they do not want to worship according to their function and the role, they rebelled against God and God cast them out of heaven onto this earth and they became fallen angels. We call them demons. Because of the angels, they worship God according to how God has created them. When they did not want to do so, they pay a heavy price. There was no reverse. Once they became fallen angels, they will spend eternity in the lake of fire one day. There is no salvation for fallen angels. Worship to God is very important. When the angels did not follow God's prescription for worship, they wanted to be like God. They wanted to take over their position following Satan. They all fell. Follow God's prescription. Please. Worship is very important to God and it must be very important to us. It's one thing to serve. It's one thing to be a holy witness and share the gospel outside in the world. But when it comes to worship, when it comes to praising God, approaching God, please, let it be paramount. Let it be according to God's prescription because we worship Him and He alone has the right to tell us how to do it in a manner that He accepts. Not you or me, He alone. And this is what God has said to us. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord, which is correct. Without one another, without each other, without the man and the woman, we cannot exist. Now, this is in the Lord. For Christians, have this understanding. For as the woman is of the man, right, the woman came out of man, but even so is the man also by the woman. The preposition of and by is key. Because we know that for us, male, we came out of our mother's womb. That's what I mean by the woman. But from the very beginning, the woman came out of the man. And so therefore, we need each other. We need each other to fulfill our respective roles. Because remember, all things are of God. God is the one who has the final and only say concerning who will be male, who will be female. Do it for God's sake. Do it for Jesus' sake. Do it because this is how God has made you and me. We have no choice. The man has no choice. You are created by God as a male. Fulfill it. For the women, you also have no choice. God has created you as a woman, and God saved you, and God put you here on earth. Fulfill your role. Men, fulfill your role. All things are of God. God is the one who has dictated and determined your beginning, your presence, and your future. All we need is to obey and to submit. This is how we can worship God in the manner that God will be pleased. The men, you are the image and the glory of God. The women, you are the glory of men. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for the way that you have created us, each and every one of us. For you make no mistakes, and you have created us as your chosen generation in a time such as this. Just as we cannot do what Paul did in his time, for we were not born yet, and he cannot do what we do today, because he has finished his work on earth, and you have taken him home to glory. Help us to know that there are no accidents in our lives. You have created us and made us in a time such as this to deal with the challenges of bearing a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of great assault and the last days. May we be found faithful and not be found wanting. I pray especially, O Lord, for all the men, that they will rise to the occasion and fulfill the role that you have given to each and every one of us. For we are the image and the glory of God Almighty. Help us to do so as individual believers and at home as the head. And in church, may the men rise to the occasion and serve thee with joy and with gladness and with humility. And for the women, we pray, O Lord, that thou will also help them to submit to thy holy will, for they are created by thee to be the glory of men. And we pray, O Lord, that together we may all bring glory and honor to thy holy name as we worship thee in spirit and in truth. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.